Thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
Say with me our declaration. God created me on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. I hope that you, as the more that we are saying that declaration, that you're getting it into your DNA, and that's becoming part of your everyday world. In this series that we started last week, we started a series called Living Water. It's birthed really out of the series that we just came out of, which was redigging wells. And in wells is water. Wells are life-giving sources. And Jesus said that we are going to be rivers of living water. I'll put that scripture back up on the screen for you as we are kind of using that as the anchor for this service. But if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, it's very familiar if you've been around Christianity for any length of time, but if you're new to the faith, or this is something that you really have not heard a lot about Holy Spirit, this is the benchmark. Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, that's the benchmark. Those are the anchor scriptures that surround the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. And we talked last week about John 7, and so I want to go back to that scripture because everything that we do out of this message series really focuses on this one scripture where Jesus, he stands up and he's a little bit out of character because Jesus was meek and lowly, and he taught as a teacher, and teachers typically don't scream and holler. They just typically are, here's the truth. That's what teachers are. They are fact presenters, and it doesn't matter if I agree with the facts or not. It doesn't matter if you agree with the facts or not. It's not my version of the truth. It is the truth, the absolute truth. And so Jesus, he's a teacher, but right here we see he gets a little bit out of character when he begins to lift up his voice. And so on the last day, the climax of the Festival of the Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and shouted to the crowds, "Hey! Hey!" Because it's a festival. He's at Mardi Gras. Not really, but you understand, if you were at a Mardi Gras parade and you were trying to get the attention, or any parade, I'm just using that. None of y'all religious folks get upset and send me emails. I'm just using it as an example, because our region celebrates that they're in Mardi Gras seasons, and I don't get into all that. I don't really like crowds and yada, yada, yada. But the point is, he's trying to get their attention. So imagine being at a crowd, at a Mardi Gras parade or any parade or a football game, and you're trying to get the attention of the people, and he's like, "Hey, hey, anyone who is thirsty, come to me. And anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." And when he said living water, he was referring to the Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone who believed in him, but the Spirit had not been given to everyone believing yet, because the Spirit had not been released. And Jesus had not entered into his glory. So Jesus is prophesying about a future time when he's going to leave earth, but in a switch of places, Holy Spirit now is going to lead the church. Whereas Christ came and founded the church, now Holy Spirit is going to empower and is going to lead the church. But it hasn't happened yet. And he's just giving them a precursor, a prophecy of things to come. And he's saying, "Hey," let me just kind of put it in a different today vernacular. He's like, "Hey, if anyone is tired of doing the same old thing, if you're tired of doing the same religious works that you have done all your life, and it's gotten you to a place. Erica's going to preach about this next week. But Ezekiel 47 that I mentioned last week, where it talks about, hey, I measured off 1,750 feet. And I was up to my ankles. I measured off another 1,750 feet. I was up to my knees. I was up another 1,750 feet. I was up to my waist. Another 17, I'm up to my neck. And then I go on out and I can't even touch the bottom. Hey, if you are tired, Jesus is saying, if you are tired of just standing in knee-deep water, come to me. If you're tired of doing the same thing that you've been, that's gotten you to this place, but you are ready to do something different, if you're hungry for that, if you're thirsty for that, then come to me, because the scriptures declare out of his heart, out of his belly, in your inmost being, the thing that makes you you, out of you is going to flow living water. Not just living water. In this scripture, there's two things happening. There's a filling and there's a flowing. There's a filling, because he says, if anyone wants to come to me, you can come and drink if you're thirsty. And look at what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So in this scripture, we're finding these two things. We're finding a filling and a flowing. And here's what we were made to do. We were made to be filled. We were made to be filled. But if you go back to the message last week, you remember the scripture, he's saying, we will be reservoirs of living water. No, that's not what he said. He said, we will be rivers of living water. So yes, we are made to be filled, but we cannot just be filled. There has to be an outflow. We were made to flow out. If we only receive and we keep it here, what happens is not a good thing. A good thing becomes a bad thing. We are not made to be reservoirs. We are not just made to be consumers. We are made to be conduits where things flow through us. So say it with me. We were made to be filled and we were made to flow. Say it again. We were made to be filled and we were made to flow. So what is a flow? A flow is a continuous, uninterrupted movement. Like continuous, uninterrupted movement. It means that it's constantly happening and that it's uninterrupted. But I'm just going to tell you, the enemy's goal for you is to interrupt your flow. He is to interrupt you being a conduit. I'm telling you what, church, if we would just pay attention. This has happened to me so many times in my life. It has happened to me, you know, over the past few weeks. It's going to happen. I'm not prophesying this. I just know the devil. We get over one spiritual battle and we think, man, we won that one. We made it through that one. And we don't think there are going to be any more. Can I tell you, you are going to be fighting spiritual battles until the day you close your eyes or you see yourself floating up in the air to meet Jesus. We are constantly going to be engaged in warfare. It's just what the enemy He's just purposed him in himself, not God. He's purposed in himself. I'm going to do everything I can to keep you from your purpose, from your assignment. So what does he do? He puts things in your way so that it will interrupt your flow. It'll interrupt whatever it is God's trying to do through you. All of a sudden, he'll put something in your way. And I don't know if you've ever seen these people, corps of engineers, they can take a river and they can literally go in and change the course of a natural river. It blows my mind how these engineers can do stuff like that. Shay and I had the privilege of going and standing on the Hoover Dam. I don't know if you've ever been on that thing. It is a, I'm like, I don't know if it's one of the seven wonders of the world, but it should be. I'm just telling you, that thing is amazing. And I go, how in the world are men so smart that they can do it? And then they can do it. You know that's why, I don't fully understand it, but you know that's why God messed all the languages up. Because those Babylonians, they were building the tower. They had made their mind up. I'm telling you, if man can dream it, man can make it happen. And he said, I got to go down there and scramble their language, because if I don't intervene right here, they're going to accomplish their goal. Why? Because I'm telling you, God created you and me to be rivers, conduits of living water. So a flow is a continuous, uninterrupted movement. Don't let the enemy interrupt your flow. Don't let the enemy interrupt what you are called to do. Don't let him interrupt whatever it is God has purposed to give you, to flow into you, to fill you with. A flow is an uninterrupted, continuous movement. Look at Ephesians 5:18. The scripture Paul is telling Timothy and the church at Ephesus, he's saying, listen, don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a couple of things right here. He's saying to the church at Ephesus, and you got to know the context when you read scripture. That's why you don't read scripture, study scripture. That's what I would encourage you to do. Because when you read scripture, you read it at surface value. When you study scripture, you dig out the context of it. And there's so many, listen, Pastor Rife, I don't know where to go. I'll teach you some places where to go. You can get good stuff. Like, you can get some crazy stuff on the intranet too. But I'm telling you, good stuff. But in Ephesus just was, he put this young Pastor Timothy at the church at Ephesus. Ephesus was just, dude, it was like New Orleans or Las Vegas. I mean, it was Sin City. They had sex temples. Like, they weren't just having sex to have sex. They were having sex on the altar as offerings to God. That's how messed up their heads were. They would have drunken orgies. They would, you know, and people, listen to me, friends. Everybody is looking for significance. Everybody wants to know, what am I here for? What's my purpose? I want to feel valued. I want to feel like I add value. And people will go through life, and what they'll do is they'll fill that need. Pascal said, everybody's got a God-shaped hole inside of them. Meaning everybody has this innate, inborn, because we're children of God. We have this inborn need for God. And people will fill that hole with all different kinds of things. And I'm just telling you, only thing that's going to fit that hole is God. Only thing that's going to fill that spot is God. And so he's telling the Ephesians here, he's saying, listen, I know what y'all are doing. Y'all are going out and getting drunk. Y'all having these orgies. Y'all are trying to fill the God-shaped hole, the Holy Spirit-shaped hole. You're trying to fill it with all of those things will leave you. I think you said while you were up exhorting the church earlier, Alan, you said something to this effect. If it's joy, how did you say that? If it's joy and then shame, it's not joy. What he's trying to say here to the church, to the church at Ephesus, he's trying to say, you're trying to fill your life with things, and you're finding out after you've done all of these things, it leads you to no gratification. It leads you to no self-satisfaction. It leads you to no peace in your life. He said, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not one to get off too deep into the Greek and tenses of verbs and things like that. But you know verb tenses matter, right? If I were to say, I went to the store. You know that's in the past. You know, But if I say I'm going to the store, that's in the future. You know, it gives you an idea of where I've been or what my future plans are. And so the Greek word for filled right there is in the present imperative, and that simply means, to all of the people who aren't real smart in all of that stuff, it simply means that the Greek word there means to continuously fill yourself. Continuously fill yourself with Holy Spirit. Why? Why? Because we need to fill ourselves because God is an infinite God. And God can only fill up what space we allow Him to come in and fill. Stay with me for a moment. Stay with me for a moment. I'm telling you, we should constantly be asking, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Why? Because there are places that we get to in our life that I'm not saying you're prideful. I'm not saying I've been prideful, but I have been prideful. And it's like, you know, I think I got my act pretty much together. That is a dumb statement. Because when you think you have your act together, God will show you where you don't have it together. And God can only flood into our lives. He can only fill the cavities, so to speak, within us that we empty ourselves out of. And I'm telling you what, the more we get ourselves out of ourselves and we surrender to Him, the more He can fill us. And so there are some people that, you know, they're where they are. That goes back to that, 1750, I'm ankle deep. Another 1750 feet, I'm knee deep. Some people, they don't have the capacity for knee deep because they just are getting into, you know, the understanding, the discipleship, the relationship with Christ. There are some people that, you know, honestly, man, I've had people to tell me, I don't want to get in the flow. I don't want to be in over my head because I want to be able to touch the ground. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. You know, get out beyond the bank. Get out where you can't feel and just trust God to direct your steps, to lead you wherever you go. Like, that's really where we need to get. But there are people that I've had in my life that I've talked to, and they've said, I really, you know, I'm fine where I am. I'm just telling you, as a believer, we should just say, God, whatever you want. Not what I want, what you want. Even if it makes me uncomfortable, even if I don't know how to do it, even if I don't understand it. See, I'm just telling you, if you stay at a place where you're not willing to say those things, you will stay in a place that will keep you from going where God wants to take you. He'll let you sit there. You can stay there, but you can go so much further. We sing a little song around here that says, yes, I will. Yes, let our yes be yes to the Lord. God, wherever you want to take me, I want to be in that flow. So let's read Acts chapter 2, and let's look a little bit about what this filling is. So Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, like I said, this is going to be very familiar to those of us who have either grown up in church, been around it for a long time, but I pray God will give it new revelation to those of us who we've read this hundreds probably times. Verse 2, on the day of Pentecost, we're coming up on Pentecost very soon. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers, they were meeting in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Stop. All right, so where are they? They're in Jerusalem. They are waiting. Now, if you go back to when Jesus was at the Feast of Tabernacles, now they are at Pentecost, okay? So this is getting ready for, you know, the remembrance of the Passover lamb and all of this stuff, the outpouring, but they don't call it the day of Pentecost because it hadn't happened. They're there for the Passover, okay? And so what they're there for, they are there waiting for what Jesus promised them at the Feast of the Tabernacles. He said, hey, if you're thirsty, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me, and I'll give you something really to drink. Rivers of living water are going to flow out of you. And he tells them, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to tarry there. Listen, we don't talk a lot about tarrying anymore because we live in a generation of microwave satisfaction. If I can't get it, I mean, come on, man. I'm talking to myself. We live in a time where it's like, man, if our internet's not giving us 1,000 up or 1,000 down? I don't remember what we get. But, you know, if we ain't got that, it's like we feel like we're on dial-up still. I mean, we get ticked off if we have to wait, 10 minutes in a drive-thru line. When you think about, now, if you was at home making this, how long would it take you? You know, why? Because we are microwave. But he says, I want you to go and tarry. Well, when is it going to show up? When is Holy Spirit going to show up? Is it going to show up on a Monday, Tuesday? What time? I want to plan this out. He's like, I don't know. When the Father gets ready, just go and wait. Go and wait. I'm telling you, we've lost the art of being patient and waiting. I'm telling you what, many people will miss a move of God because God, quote, wasn't moving. Hear me, church. God wasn't moving. I'm telling you, sometimes I feel like that myself. God's not moving, or is he? God's not moving, or is he? God's not moving, or is he? God's not moving, so I'm going to have to move. Man, I just tell you, if you just go back to that Redigging the Well series. Oh, Isaac, he's like, listen, I don't like the way things are looking around here. Circumstances do not look good. I'm going to head on down to Egypt because it's plentiful there. And God says, don't you move. Don't you move. Well, see, God, you don't understand the economic forecast. Don't you move. See, you don't understand. It's a famine going on here. My prospects are better over there. Don't you move. It's happening over there. There's movement. There's momentum. There's innovation. Don't you move. You stay where you stay. I'm telling you, man, if God says stay somewhere, you need to stay there. You don't care what the circumstances are. You don't care. I mean, man, we love to preach Job, but we don't like to live it. We love to preach Gideon, but we don't like to live it. Come on, somebody needs to say amen right there. But if God says stay, if God says I want you to abide in me, then stay and watch what God will do. And he says, I want you to go. And I want you to stay there, and I just want you to wait. I just want you to wait. I know you don't understand everything. I know it's not lining up with your timeline. I know you would do it differently if you were in charge, but you're not. Meaning God is. Just wait. And so they got there, and as they're waiting, verse 3. Let me go back to verse 2. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. I just want to go back up. And suddenly, verse 2, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring mighty wind, and it what? Filled. There is a filling that is taking place. You can feel when the filling comes into the room. Like if you'll just be perceptive, if you if you'll just connect with Holy Spirit, and I'm going to tell you, connecting with Holy Spirit is not something that we go, I think I'll just connect with Holy Spirit right here. No, connectivity with Holy Spirit is a journey. It's a lifestyle. It's something you do all the time. That's why when you go into a place, Holy Spirit, you walked in with Him. You ain't got to hook up. You ain't got to get connected with Him. You already connect Him. He's in you and flowing out of you. And so it's when we operate like that, it's a skill. It's a gift. Holy Spirit is a gift. And when we connect with Holy Spirit like that, we don't have to walk into the room and go, let me just feel the room for a moment. No, you know the room. You feel it when you walk in. It's called discernment. You walk in and you know something is good or something's off. You know. And so there's a filling going on in the room. But then there's also a filling. You read a little further. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared. And everyone present was filled. So there's a corporate filling. And there's a personal filling. Not feeling, filling of Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm telling you what. When we come together, listen to me, this is so important. When we come together and we are filled with Holy Spirit, there is a greater filling in the room. When we are filled with Holy Spirit and we come together, there is a filling of the room that is palpable. If we come together and we're in a situation, it's where I've been in situations where it's like, I don't know how many Holy Ghost filled people there are up in here, but there's not a lot of us. Because I feel His presence in me, but I don't feel it. I don't feel Him in the room. You ever been there?
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, if there were just a few more of me, I mean, I can change it by myself. Meaning Holy Spirit, you understand that, right? Holy Spirit working through us. But man, when the saints get together and we do it together, there is a Holy Ghost momentum. Man, I tell you what, I've had people to get so angry with me about saying, hey, man, lift your hands in worship. You would think that I'm asking them to slap their mama. Like, just reach over and slap the do-what sniddly out of her. You know, just slap her. Just give her one. Like, for every whooping you ever got, for everything she ever made you do, that every piece of broccoli, just haul off and just slap her. And all I said is, man, come on, lift your hands. Let's worship in a biblical fashion. Let's worship. Why? Because it's important. It's important that we worship in a biblical way. If you don't do that, I feel like I'm getting off on a soapbox here, but if you don't do that, it affects the room. When we do it together, we are increasing the elevating. When we pray, there's a difference. I can tell when we get together with our intercessors, which is really open to anybody. Who wants to come and pray. When we get together, I can tell when I'm the only one praying or somebody else is the only one praying and everybody else is just listening. Immediately, the power in the room goes up when everybody prays. It's just a principle. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Where two or three, not where one, but two or three are gathered in my name. There's something about the power of multiplication. And so let's look at this real quick. Healthy inflow, this is what healthy inflow looks like. Number one, it looks like a spiritual hunger and thirst. Jesus said, If anybody is hungry, if anybody is thirsty, you can come to me and drink. But Jesus can't make us drink. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. The same is true for us. Like, you cannot put thirst in a person. You can't put hunger in a person. That's something that happens when you have a spiritual appetite. What makes you hungry? What makes you hungry? Lack of food. Smells. They just, you know, incite the olfactory nerves in your nose, and all of a sudden your mouth starts watering. But people, these things will make us hungry. But I want to go back to lack of food. Well, lack of food is we're doing without food, or we just haven't taken in food, or we've been spending energy that food stores up in our body. So that's an outflow. So what makes us hungry? Outflow. For more spirit. Spiritual hunger. Nobody can make you hungry except yourself. And you get hungry by spending in the outflow. Number two, scriptural intake. Shay, would you give me that drink right there? Scriptural intake. So, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, David is talking about his love for Scripture. What comes into us, we're able to release out of us. That's why the more you put the word in you, I'm telling you, listen to me, church, context is what matters. Content is what matters, not necessarily context. Listen to me. Let me get a drink. I'm losing my voice here. Context or text is in Ephesians 5:18, the scripture says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Content is this. That's where to find it, Ephesians 5:18. But I'm telling you what, don't worry about where to find it. You get it in you, and it'll flow out of you. Get the content of the word. Don't worry about, well, I don't know where it's at. I can't tell you how many times I say this to people. I don't know where it's at. It's in the Bible. I'll go find where it's at. But the scripture says, Jesus even said it a few minutes ago. He gave the content of the word. Put it back up on the screen real quick for me. John chapter 7. Look, verse 38, he says, for the scriptures declare, where? Nehemiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Micah, Genesis? I don't know. Why? That's not important, friends. That's not important for what he's doing. He's just giving the content. And so we've got to get the word inside of us so that the word can just flow out of us. Don't worry about if it's in Revelation or any place like that. You can get that stuff later. Get the content of the word in you. You understand, we are the ones that made up all of those references in Scripture so where we would know to go to find it. They just called it the book of Ezekiel, the law of Moses. So prayer is another way. Remember, I talked to you recently about not praying Amazon Prime prayers, where it's like, God, I got to have this by tomorrow noon. You pray, and when you pray, prayer doesn't always need to be Santa Claus prayers. God, I got this need, I got this need, I got this need, I got this need, I got this need. Those are baby prayers. And if you're a babe in Christ, it's okay for you to pray like that while you're a babe. But at some point, you stop being a babe and you just are a big fat baby. I know that's rough. But you can't be a babe in Christ and you're 20 years in the church. 10 years in the church, five years in the church, you're not a babe anymore. 3 years in the church, you're not a babe anymore. You're a babe when you get born into the church through salvation. And then you begin to grow. We do prayer. Prayer is warfare prayer. I'm telling you, like, I've been, I guess my innards are coming out right here. Y'all, just bear with me. A lot's going on right now. I'm losing my voice. My innards are coming out. Let me just pull it on out. Out of me is flowing rivers of living water. But the enemy recently was battling me on some stuff in my mind. And man, I just told him, I said, listen, this is fixing to stop right now. Like, this is fixing to stop. I hadn't really been paying attention to my authority. I haven't been paying attention, and I've just been letting you fly around my head like a little gnat. And I'm like, stop! Right now. I don't have time for this. And that's a prayer, by the way. That's a prayer. Spiritual inflow looks like this. It looks like worship. Worship is important to us. Worship can't be only what you get in the four or five songs we did here earlier. No, that's a corporate celebration. It is worship, but that cannot be the extent of your personal worship. It can't be the extent of you driving down. That's where you are in a babe stage. But as you mature in Christ, there are times where we have to get before the Lord and we have to have a time of worship, because worship restores us. It's like getting in the humidity of Holy Spirit, so to speak. And all of the hardness and the cracks in our wineskin, when you get in the humidity of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, that wineskin becomes pliable again. What happens when there's a healthy inflow? It looks like this, but look at the outflow. Oh, let me write at the bottom. A lack of inflow leads us to spiritual dryness, being spiritually powerless, and being spiritually fruitless. Like, when we have a lack of inflow, when there's not worship, I'm telling you, I've seen worship leaders get on the stage and I know they have not been with God. They're fixing to sing out of their talent, not out of their overflow. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, bless their heart. Now, you understand, I'm not trying to say I'm all that in a bag of chips. I'm just saying that I ain't no veteran worshiper. I'm no veteran prayer. I'm no novice. I am a veteran worshiper. I am a veteran prayer. I know how to get in touch with God. I know how to seek Him in the holy private place when nobody, not even my wife, knows my private times. I know how to get there. When I get on the stage, if I don't know where to go, I'm man enough to say, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know where we're going right now. And that's okay. Let's just wait on Holy Ghost for just a second. But I have seen people try to flow out of some place that they hadn't been flowed into. And I'm just sitting there going, bless their heart. Bless their heart. Just go ahead and shut it down. You know, go ahead and move on to the next thing. Because we truly need an inflow into our life. If we don't, man, it's going to leave us barren. It's going to leave us dry. It's going to leave us powerless. It's going to lead us fruitless. So what does healthy outflow look like? It looks like this. It looks like sharing the gospel. Listen, every person in this room needs to know how to lead somebody to Christ. It is not hard, and it should not be scary to you. part of this year, I've already led groups, small groups, etc., on how to do this, and I'm going to do some more of that this year. But at its basis form, sharing the gospel is good news. That's what that means. It's just good news. Testify. You're talking to somebody. Outflow needs to be this. Man, God, He helped me get my transmission repaired. $4,000 I was looking at paying. Look what God did for me. It's just testifying of God's goodness. Man, God healed my grandma. Man, God healed my clots. Man, God gave me a good scan. Do you know how many Christians sit on their testimonies? It's like, dude, every time you say that stuff, it is producing life. I'm testifying. Listen, I'm just telling you, man. So many times we're trying to get people to the spiritual finish line called salvation that it's like, you know, we're trying to get them all the way there. They're not ready for that. But if you would just deposit some seeds, if you would just lay down some testimony, I promise you, if you give God glory for it, do not think that that person is not going to walk away and say, I remember Sheila saying that God gave her a good report. So God did that. What makes her so special and me not? I promise you, man, you lay down some testimony. You flow. Let your testimonies be an outflow of your life. Just start. Pastor Rife, I'm not ready to lead anybody to salvation. Well, just start with the good news. What is God doing in your life? Pastor Rife, God's not doing anything in my life. No, you have got to look around. God's doing something in all of our lives. Number two, a life of service for God. Outflow is a life of service for God. God has given every single one of us gifts. And the scripture tells us that it's in 1 Peter 4:10 that we have been given gifts and that we're to use those for the service of others. Like outflow means serving. Like I'm giving of my gifts, I'm giving of my abilities, I'm giving of my resources. That's an outflow. Listen, I'm just telling you, there are people, and if you are not at a place of maturity, you will fall into the trap of thinking that churches only want your money. Whenever I hear that, I never hear a person, because this is what I want to ask them, do you give to church? Do you give to your local church? Do you even know what tithing is? Do you even... Their answer is going to be no. I've never heard of a person... Listen to me. Shay and I are not even the biggest tithers in our church, but we're on up there because we're faithful in our giving. Do you realize what a moron I would have to be, that Shay and I would have to be, to give away a tenth of both of our incomes and offerings on top of that if we didn't truly know and trust the goodness of God? 10% of our income is nothing compared to the mighty things that God has done for us financially, maritally, in our families, in our bodies. I'm telling you, it's a life of service to God, a healthy outflow. It's fruit of the Spirit in action. Church, listen to me. It blows my mind. I'm talking to folks in this room that I don't even know who I'm talking to. I don't have anybody I can come out and go like, Maxie, it's you, and Amy, it's you, and Lynn, it's you, and you know, it's you, and you, and you. I don't have anybody in the room that's coming to mind that I can walk out there and do that. But I'm telling you, I know I'm talking to people in the room. It shocks me usually when it happens, when the revelation happens. There are people in the room right now that you are not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. That you can sit in the room, that you can hear the truth, that you can know the truth. Somehow it's here. You comprehend it. But in the heart, listen, out of your brain will flow rivers of living water. That's not what the scripture says. Out of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever comes out of our mouth, that is what's in our heart. And it blows me away that the church is full of people who are not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Just go Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It tells you what the fruit of the Spirit is. And then outflow looks like living with spiritual gifts in operation in our lives. Spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The spiritual gifts are word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Hey, church, it also blows me away. The two tools that God has given the church, we are not using to the fullest of our capacity. Pastor Rife, I know that's hard. I know it's hard. Pastor Rife, please don't end a sermon like that. Listen, I'm leaving you with something that you can walk out of this room with, that you can go, do I need to step it up? Do I need to pray about these areas? Listen, I see the church walking in a high lack of discernment, in a high lack of wisdom. I see the church operating in so many different ways. You understand I'm talking about our church and the church at large. Let's have a healthy outflow of spiritual fruit and spiritual gifts. So look at this. A lack of outflow leaves us spiritually stagnant and spiritually stunted. Most people who are spiritually stunted don't know that they're stunted. They don't know that they're stagnant. When you have an inflow, but there's no outflow, what happens? It becomes dead. It becomes septic. And there's many in the body of Christ that have become stagnant and they have become stunted. Don't let that be you. Say it with me. We were made to be filled, and we were made to flow. There's got to be a filling, and there's got to be a flow. Here's three ways that you can activate it. We're going to pray. We're going to go home. And those of you who want to pray at the altar, some of our prayer team is going to be here. And they will pray for you for salvation. They will pray with you for any kind of physical, financial, or spiritual needs that you might have. Number one, how can I have a healthy inflow? Well, take advantage of the things that are right here at our church. Take advantage of small groups. Take advantage of prayer times that we have here at church. Every other week, we have a prayer group that meets right here. They're some of the most powerful times, and if I could just be so bold to say this, and I don't mean to scold anybody, but things that happen in that room on that night, those people are some of the most in the know about what's happening spiritually, because God is speaking in the intercessoring, in the intercession. That's where God speaks, when we come together to talk to Him, and things are flowing out of those times. So if you want to have a healthy inflow, take advantage of the things that are already here. Take advantage of the mighty. Take advantage of the mighty devotions that Alan sends out to us. Take advantage of the women of destiny. Come to those. Come to the different things that are here. Take advantage of serve teams that we have. Serve, you know, it's not like, hey man, can we get you to serve, to do some stuff around the church? It's not about that. It's about you having an outflow of what God created for you. Number two, determine to do one random act of kindness each day this coming week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, plan to do something, just something kind, something good. Something that will just release an outflow from you, okay? And then the last thing is this. Use the fruit gift test. In each situation, ask yourself, what fruit of the Spirit should I be walking in, and what spiritual gift do I need to be operating in right now? If you'll ask yourself in every situation, and it's hard to do until you get some maturity in you, meaning I do this all the time, all the time, all the time, in my arguments with my wife, what fruit should I be walking in right now, and what spiritual gift do I need to be operating in? When somebody's upset with you, what fruit do I need to be walking in right now, and what supernatural gift do I need to be operating in right now? When I'm being tempted for whatever situation, whatever addiction, whatever, what fruit do I need to be operating in right now? And what spiritual gift do I need to be operating in right now? If you'll ask yourself these questions and it'll just become part of your life, I'm serious. Like somehow you need to, from now on, because I tell people all the time, and until you make these things a habit, you'll forget them. But I tell people all the time, hey, we should have took more time to pray about that. Did we stop and pray about it? Oh, we didn't, did we? Oh, that's why we're here. You pause. Well, that's a habit. Another habit is this. All right, you pause. During your pause time, you're going, okay, God, show me what's going on here. What's the enemy trying to do, or what are you trying to do? What fruit of the Spirit should I be operating in, and what spiritual gift do I need to be operating in? I'm telling you, when you begin to do that, there's a level of wisdom that will come upon your life like you've not experienced ever. It'll change and revolutionize every aspect. It'll change the way you do life with your family. It'll change the way you do work with your coworkers, with your bosses, with your employees, with whatever your relationships are. So I hope this is today, man, has really stirred.